if he did, he would have pleased those around him. He would have answered to his family, "Oh, come on up to the feast." His brothers wanted him to come right now. "You come with us to the feast." But he wasn't answering to the natural family. He wasn't answering to them. He was answering to his father. If he would have just gone by what he was seeing, he would have been terrified to go to the cross. He would have been probably demoralized by the onslaught of those Pharisees and Sadducees and all the other ones. But he kept his eye on his father, and when he realized in his life that the natural was crowding in on him, he would go away for a season of prayer and get adjusted. Why do you think he went to pray? Because he had so many burdens on his heart that he saw this one sick and that one sick, and he wanted them all to be healed. I really believe that the reason why Jesus had to go away for long seasons of prayer, overnight or whatever it was because he wanted to keep his feet on the earth, but his heart in heaven. His mind focused upon that which was the reality of his mission, of his call, of that which for the reason for which he was born. And we have been born again for a call, to answer a call into the heavenlies. We are not natural people anymore. We may deal with aches and pains. We may deal with having to work and punch a time clock. We may deal with family issues and all that. We may deal with the natural world, which we have to do, and we need to do it in God. But we are not natural people anymore. We are the people of God. We are people who have been gripped by something that is invisible. And we see it and we're going after it with all of our heart. So let's turn, in closing, to Hebrews chapter 11. And we're just going to talk about Moses for a few minutes. And I'm going to pick up the narrative in Hebrews 11, 23. Of course, we know that, the story tells it. I'm going to read it for you. Hebrews 23 and forward. 11, 23 and forward. By faith. Now, remember, what is faith? Faith is really spiritual eyesight. That's what it really is. Faith causes us to know that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. Were we there? No. Did we see it happen? No. We did not. We weren't physically there with our eyeballs in our head watching everything swirl around and come into being by the Word of God. But by faith, we understand it. We understand it. We just don't know about it, but we are convinced in our hearts that God is the creator of heaven and earth. So faith is the eyesight that sees the invisible. So by faith, Moses, when he was born, wow, imagine having faith when you were born. I don't think that's what it means, but I think the commas and the, in there for a reason. By faith, when he was born, he was hidden by his parents. His parents had the faith. Why? Because when they looked on Moses, that new baby boy that was doomed to die because of the Pharaoh's command, they looked on him and they could sense the hand of God on him. Some translations say they saw that he was a beautiful child. Well, that may be. He may have been just a wonderful little bouncing boy. Whatever. He may have been very handsome as a child, very cute and lovely. But I believe that that what they really saw was an upward call on this boy. They saw it in the spirit. His parents could perceive that this child, he was going to be something that God wanted. And so, by faith, they risked their lives to preserve his life. And they sent their son away in the little basket, the little ark, it says in the Old Testament. The little ark, they sent him away into the hands of God. So by faith, he was even preserved, and he became the son of Pharaoh's daughter. So, by faith, 24, Moses, when he was come to years, and that could have been 30 years. Usually it seems to be 30 years in the Hebrew tradition, but this was Egyptian, so I don't know. He was old enough to know, let's put it that way. He made a decision not to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. In other words, something invisible was moving on Moses when he came old enough to understand. Something began to stir in his spirit. His spirit became open to something, some call of the invisible God. You see, he was living amongst gods galore, gods you could see, gold gods, gods made out of bricks made from the slavery of the Israelis. You know, he could see gods everywhere. In fact, Pharaoh himself was a god. He could see all their gods. But something began to stir. And I pray that we will obey the voice of God when it begins to stir. Well, it stirred 40 years ago when I got saved. Yeah, it did, thank God. But it's stirring now. It's stirring now. The Lord is calling us to obey the stirring of the invisible, the upward pull. It's like we're being pulled up because of the new creation, because we are a new creation person in Christ. Old things have passed away. All the natural has passed away. And it will come to an end. The world as we know it. It is going to pass away. And there's going to be a kingdom in this world, on this earth. The meek shall inherit the earth. There's going to be God's kingdom. I don't know. I haven't seen it. God hasn't showed it to me. But if there's a heavenly reality, that there is something beyond what is now. And it's pulling us upward as much as it's pulling us forward in God. So this began to stir in him. And look at the choices he made because of the stirring, because of the pull of the invisible. He chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of this natural world, or the pleasures of sin, the pleasures of idolatry, the pleasures of that which is seen, which is material, which looks successful. Egypt was the great kingdom of the age. And all those who were at the top of the realm were very important people. They were VIPs in the world. But Moses refused to be called a VIP by the kingdoms of this world. He decided that he would rather, as it says in verse 26, esteem the reproach of Christ greater than the treasures of Egypt. The materialism that is present today in our North American society is the pleasures of Egypt. It's the stuff of this world. are not to be identified by the car that we drive or the clothes that we wear or the job that we have or whatever. We are to be identified by Christ walking in us. Somebody just recently, I don't know if it was at the restaurant or at the Johnsons, was telling us, oh yes, it was Carolyn. She was talking about her mother, I think. And she was saying that people, I don't know if it was you or not, but anyway, it was somebody, that when this person would walk into a room, it was like, oh, it was Carolyn, my Carolyn. But you're my Carolyn too. It's confusing. There's a lot of Carolyns around here, and they're all important. But anyway, that when somebody was walking into the room, they brought the fragrance of Christ with them, and it was like talking to Jesus himself. Talking. And when she said that, I turned around and I said, oh God, I want to be like that. I want people to feel you and to know you because I'm just there or because I'm talking with them. I want them to feel that peace. I want them to know your light. I want that invisible thing that is gripping me to reach out and grip them too. I want the reality of Christ to be within me. And this is what Moses was choosing. He saw Christ. It says here that he esteemed the riches of the kingdom of God. He saw Christ. He saw someone who was coming. He saw God in the flesh. He saw the day of Christ like Abraham saw it. And he was gripped by it, and it gripped him, and it pushed him forward, and it caused him to enter into the greatest calling. He wasn't called to dwell on this earth and be part of Egypt, part of the world. That was only a means to an end in his life, and the end was over for that. And now it was time for him to give himself to the invisible call, the heavenly calling, that he would not be disobedient to the heavenly vision, that he would follow the Lord. And esteem the riches of Christ a treasure and not the affluence and importance of the kingdom of this world, Egypt, whose God was Pharaoh and held the people in bondage. Why do we want the bondage of the world when we can have the riches of the treasures of this invisible God? Why? What is the pull with that? Why do we worship that? Why do we go towards that? It's a lesser realm. It's condemned. It's going to pass away. Why put our energies into that when we can have that which is invisible and that which is eternal? The Word of God tells us it's invisible. The things which are invisible are eternal, and the things which are visible are temporal. God wants us to look up. He doesn't want us to be bent over by that poor lady in the Bible, that she was bent over for so many years and all she could see was the earth. But Jesus fixed it. He turned her eyes upon him. She must have somehow, in her bent down state, she must have somehow went like this and saw him. And when she did, when she saw him and she heard his voice and received that incorruptible seed coming out of his mouth, she was changed, and her whole perspective in life was changed. She wasn't centered in the earth. She wasn't bent down looking at the earth, which is passing away. She received a heavenly call.